Holy God, we praise you for the grace with which you call us back to yourself. You enfold us in times of peace and sustain us when we are in need. Open our hearts to your presence, that we may come rejoicing to meet you in Scripture, in bread and wine, and in one another. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may not have noticed, but through our reading of Scripture this morning, two prophets have joined us in this beautiful sanctuary. Amos and Luke are here, and that is cause for gladness. Prophets are truth tellers. Prophets celebrate what is true and deplore what is distorted. They know what breaks the heart of God and what causes the angels to sing for joy. The prophets teach us to seek God, and they teach us to face what we'd rather not know about ourselves. We need the prophets, even the scary ones, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Joel and Nahum and little frightening Zephaniah. Fine, okay, they're really all quite alarming. In fact, here's a point you may not have known. Amos and Jeremiah were among the very first to use the concept of basket of deplorables back many, many centuries before the Common Era, Amos 8 and Jeremiah 24. They're alarming, but we need them. We're called to love God and neighbor. And how can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength if we don't know who God is? How can we love our neighbors as ourselves if we don't know who we are? The prophet Amos calls us continually back to the God who created us and who saves us from ourselves. Amos is a genius at helping us see the terrifying drama of God. God made the beautiful stars above and redeemed Israel from slavery, sure, but the Almighty also treads on the high places of the earth, Amos reminds us, and makes destruction flash out against the strong. Amos warns that God's hand can seize us no matter where we run. There is nowhere we can hide from God's justice. So, for all who might like to domesticate God, to make God into a haloed hand puppet of benign goodwill that we get to manipulate, well, sorry, but Amos is here. None of that domesticating God for this congregation, not today. Today we bow before the mighty creator of the universe, the one who unleashed the flood in the days of Noah, a God who knows the ruin we wreck on our communities and who holds us accountable. Amos is all about ironic reversals of what the powerful expect. Israel is God's chosen people. Fine. Then Israel has been chosen to be more accountable than anyone else. Oppressive leaders enjoy being first in social status. Excellent. They'll be first in line as Israelites go into captivity. Amos rages that we need to stop trading on privilege. Instead, we should share God's heart for the poor. When we grow impatient with the holiness that recenters our lives, when we trample the poor in the race to get what we want, God knows, and we will not escape judgment. The impoverished and powerless are so often overlooked, but not by Amos. This prophet thunders that the very foundations of the world are shaken when we ignore the poor. Think of Amos as the enforcer arm of liberation theology. God stands with the poor, and Amos is here to make sure we never forget that. Luke, too, is a prophet who cares deeply about the poor. Luke's gospel tells us right from the start that God is a God who brings down the powerful and lifts up the lowly. No other evangelist does that. Luke lives and breathes prophetic tradition from the first chapter of his gospel to the last. Now, Luke's prophetic vision in the parable of the unjust steward, our lesson this morning, is so ironic that it's a little hard to understand, or maybe I should say it's easy to misunderstand, and your clergy will doubtless set you straight if you take the wrong lesson, like, oh, I can do anything I want with my money and then just be kind later. No, no. But there are endless, complicated debates among New Testament scholars about how the rich master could commend this steward who was defrauding him by reducing debts owed to him. There is a solution. A voluntary debt reduction was, in fact, a practice in the ancient world, just as debt restructuring happens today. It does actually benefit the master if the overwhelmed debtors stay engaged in paying off a smaller debt rather than just giving up and defaulting because their debt is too massive. That makes sense. But more important, I think, is who is at the heart of Luke's gospel? The poor, the struggling, the forgotten. They're the ones who will be at the heavenly banquet, according to Luke 15. The unjust steward, you'll recall, wanted to get the debtors on his side so they'd show him hospitality when he becomes unemployed. He's about to be fired. He's too weak for manual labor and is ashamed to beg. So he'll have to rely on these new friendships forged through his dishonesty. The irony that Luke shows us is that by being compassionate to these overwhelmed debtors, the unjust steward is modeling how believers can be welcomed into the eternal homes, that is, into heaven. Serve God by caring for the poor, using resources that don't matter, and you'll demonstrate the heart of compassion that does matter to God, even if that wasn't what you were intending. Luke and Amos insistently draw us back to a God who never abandons the poor. Even if you show mercy for the wrong reasons, it's still mercy, and it still delights God every time. These prophets call us to know ourselves. Not a pretty picture. They call us to recognize our obsession with power and security, to move beyond denial and complicity in doing harm. The prophets focus our gaze on those most cherished by God. Can you see them? The exhausted young mother trying to feed a family of four with what she gets at the local food pantry. The homeless teen who has reached the limits of his resilience. The gifted artist struggling with mental illness and no insurance. The little kid in a Norwalk school who gets only one hot meal every day. The elderly widow on a fixed income who can barely pay her bills. The prophets see them. The prophets invite us into a vision spanning the Old and New Testaments, a gospel vision in which God's love for the poor triumphs over every moment of callousness, every wrong, every arrogant assertion of privilege. Amos and Luke show us that in decrying injustice and showing compassion, we stand with none other than the Lord of life. It's simple. God loves the poor. In every decision we make with our time, our gifts, and our energy, we are called to go and do likewise.